He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. What is he saying? What do I believe he's saying? I tell you, I believe that God is calling out people who want to be authentic disciples for him. Authentic disciples. And if you don't know what an authentic disciple is, then read the Bible and find out what the 12 disciples experienced. They were authentic. And their authenticity brought them to some pain. And look at how each one of them died because they took a position based on their belief, and that belief gave them a confidence that even in the face of death, they were able to stand. Stand. And having done all, they were able to stand. I hope you're getting my drift this morning. How important it is for you to be so grounded in him that you won't punk out. But you'll stand. I don't know the place that God has you planted in the marketplace. But I believe that God has planted each one of you in a place that needs to see and experience the manifest presence of God and how it has the power to change a life. I don't know who sits next to you in your cubicle, in your office space, or who works alongside of you. But God knows the needs of all of those that are around you, and he has prepared you to be light and salt in that environment. Light and salt. Salt that preserves, light that gives understanding, so that all of their questions and concerns, when you bring the light of truth, it'll bring understanding and it'll give information as to what they need to do and their circumstance. How many of you believe that? Come on. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Come on. Don't give me a religion. I really believe that, Harold. Your pastor and I have talked. I shared with him a few weeks ago how we've been looking at the whole relational piece, how Christians relate to one another, how the enemy uses all kinds of things, including our cultures, where we come from, our backgrounds, our color. Uses anything that we'll let him use for the purpose of dividing. How many of you know that when you divide something, you take away from its power? Satan is not stupid. He's always about division. If he can divide, he can conquer. And so, we've been talking about the great divide in the body of Christ. You know, Martin Luther King, I think, said the most segregated hour is Sunday, 11 o'clock. It's when most churches gather. And they don't gather, unfortunately, in their strength, but they gather apart in their comfort zones, and in doing that, we deplete the power that God wants us to have collectively, and then he gives us all this stuff to justify why we do that. I think the thing that provoked that discussion with our group is as we watched the boob tube, the one-eyed monster, the one that so many of us spend hours and hours being ministered to by the one-eyed monster. And he allows us to see all of the ugly things that are happening. And as we look at those things, we tend to respond not in the spirit, but we respond in the flesh. We respond through this thing, and we make decisions and draw conclusions based on what the one-eyed monster shows us. And then when we make those decisions, we begin to move off into our different positions. And there we have division. I want to say this up front, because I know everybody's exposed to this. We're in the midst of this political piece right now. The Democrats and the Republicans and the two people running for candidacy. And everybody's looking at that. And everybody is drawing their own opinions about that. I pray God will allow me to help you to see what's going on through the eyes of the Spirit and not see this. Don't get caught up in the politics of what's going on. Because underneath all of that, God is at work. This is not about politics. I want you to repeat that. It is not about politics. Come on, say it.
It's not about politics.
Then what is it about? It's about what God is doing. And you can get sidetracked by focusing on it from a human perspective and say, it's about politics. It's about who's going to win. There are no winners. Sorry.
Right.
Jesus is not about winning either side. He is about victory. And we need to understand, how do we cooperate with God's agenda versus the agenda of the secular society? How do we cooperate in the spirit with what God is doing versus what we see on the television around the politics? The politics has painted this thing as a black and a white issue, as a political issue, as a conservative. Thank you. Issue. And it's not. Don't allow the enemy to blind your eyes to what's going on. I'm so glad you're doing your school of the spirit and all of that you said, because I'm hoping that out of that, it will produce believers who are discerning.
Yeah.
I often think of the men of Issachar. What a great example. The men of Issachar were men who discerned the times. And not only discerned the times, but the scripture says, and they knew what to do. They were not confused about what they needed to do in relationship to the issue at hand. So I'm praying for you in your school of School of the Spirit, what is it? Okay, that sounds good. That out of that would come an ability to discern what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. That's so key. We don't need to be in a quandary about that, trying to figure it out. It needs to be clear. And you can only have that clarity as we remain in the Spirit and connected to the Spirit, and the ability to see through His eyes as opposed to your own eyes. That will get you in trouble when you start seeing things through your own eyes. A lot of you probably have testimonies about seeing things through your own eye, your own understanding. Got you in a bunch of trouble. But, and God allows that too, to help you to understand that it don't work. What's required there? Spending time with God. How do you guys get to know each other? When you spend once a week, the more you spend time with someone, the more you get a deeper unveiling understanding of who that person really is. Many times you get a glimpse of them through joy, happy, good things. You also get another picture of them when they're struggling and they're doing other stuff. But you get a deeper understanding, a more realistic understanding of the whole person. Ephesians chapter 1, I think it starts in verse 20, is it 16 through 21, I think it is. Who has that? You can get that for me. This is participatory. Who has that? Ephesians 1, I think it starts at verse 16 through 21. When you get it, someone stand and read that nice and loud. That's a powerful piece. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. Read it for us. That's your favorite one? Then read it with gusto. Okay? Mm-hmm.
I'm starting at 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wow. In the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in what? In the one to come.
Thank you very much. He says, I'm praying for you. First, he said that your eyes might be enlightened. Your eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Why? So that you will know, not be in question, but you will know. Know what? What the hope of His calling is. Why has He called you? What's His purpose for you? How many of you know that when you were placed on this planet, God had already thought about and planned how you fit into His master plan? How many of you believe that?
Yeah.
Before you even got here, before you even thought of it, God had already determined a purpose for you, a plan for you, how you fit into the big master plan, the puzzle of life. There's a place just with your name on it. You fit there. Nobody else can fit there. You've been shaped just for that hole. You got to play your part. You got to show up at the game. You got to play your part. You have to score for God in that place. Nobody else can score for you. You have to do it. And just like in any sport, when they understand that you have this role to play that could cause you to score, the enemy releases the defense team to keep you from scoring. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. You got to find it out what that purpose is. You got to dig in. You got to show up. You got to read your playbook, which is the Word of God. And the more you spend time in His Word and in His presence, that role becomes more and more clear and clear and clear to you. And once you understand, then also understand that there's a defense to keep you from fulfilling that role. But He's telling us in that scripture that there's power, and when you know Him, there's a power that released to you that will allow you to do what I said earlier. After you've done all the stand, you're going to be able to stand. You're going to be able to win. And if we've ever needed Christians today, not to punk out, but to stay in there and complete your assignment. Complete your assignment. We were supposed to be talking about race thing, but we'll get to it. It's all part of it. But I sense that so strongly this morning in our worship experience. I just had to get on my face. I had to get on my knees this morning and say, God, there's an atmosphere, and I do see what God has done since I've been here last. I do see a growth. The most important growth is not numerical growth.
Right.
The most important growth is depth in God. And the ability to recognize and sense when the Spirit is moving, how do you respond to it?
Yeah.
And I was with you. We could have hung there a little while longer because God was doing something.
Yeah.
When you kept going through that, and I know you played so well, man. It's cool. God was doing something. Those words up there that we were singing and the repetition of those words was drilling that thing deeper into your spirit, had to get from your head down into your spirit and challenge you. Do you believe what you're singing? Do you believe those lines?
Come on.
I love that line. Who you are? And who you are? Do you know who he is? And do you are? Who you are? He's speaking to you through a lyric. Do you know who I am? That's who I am. See, we got to get beyond the emotion of the moment and the music, you know. Music. Get beyond the music and get to the essence of what the Spirit of God is saying through a lyric. He's speaking to you. And everything that He says is to prepare you so that after you have done all that you know to stand, that lyric says, you can stand. Because I know who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's who you are. You show up, God. Tia, he shows up, baby. That's who he is. He will never, I love it. He says, I'll never leave you, Harold Brinkley. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'm not going anywhere. That's what he keeps saying to us. But then he says, do you believe it? And I think she was smiling and says, do you believe? Do you believe? I heard that little refrain. Do you believe? You must believe. I love it. You guys are flowing in the spirit, man. I love it. You're talking about going higher. We're going deeper, man. We're going deeper. So when nobody else is around, when you're out from the congregation, you're able to stand.
Yeah.
You don't need the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. You don't need the atmosphere of the building.
Yeah.
You can stand because you know who he is.
Amen.
The power of his greatness towards us believe. Back to the race piece. I marvel at the fact that the world, this society, has took what God said in his word and flipped it and given us a whole different definition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're using words contrary to what the scripture said.
Yep.
There's no such thing as racism in the body of Christ. None.
Yeah.
That's a secular term that's used to divide us. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, let me find it. It is so clear, man. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Read it for me. Who has it? Genesis chapter 1.
And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God.
Whose image are we created in? I'm African American, but I was also created in the image of God.
Right.
You're Caucasian.
Yep.
You're Egyptian. You're Filipino. But we were all created what?
Image of God.
Image of God.
So good.
We're all created in the image of God.
Yeah.
We're all created in the image of God.
Yes.
You're Asian.
Yes.
We're all created in the image of God. Male, female. That's the distinction. But male and female, we're all created in the image of God, in the likeness of God.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
There's no division in that. There's no separation in that. We're all at ground zero together. There's no one greater or higher than you. Why? Because we are all created in his image. Wow. Man, it blows me away just to think that he, whatever he looks like, he created us in his image.
Yeah.
So we can look like him.
Yeah.
It's not enough for us to want to look like Jesus. We want to represent our distinctiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we call out these names. I am this. No. You're in the image of God. And if you're a believer in Christ, you're in the image of God. There's another one. Is it Genesis chapter 3? I want someone to read that. I think it's Genesis chapter 3. I should have had all these in here. 3 verse 20. Who has that? Read it for me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Read it nice and loud. I'm going to have you read it 2 or 3 times because I want it to sink in. Who has it? Yes, sir.
Go a beer.
Nice and loud.
Adam named his wife Eve because she would become his, the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand.
Just read verse 20. Just verse 20. Read it.
Good job. Good job.
Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living.
Good.
There you go.
Who made what? Adam appointed his wife Eve as mother of what?
All.
Say it again.
All.
Who is our mama? Who is our daddy? All right. We all are offsprings of who?
Adam and Eve.
That means that we're all what?
Related.
That's right. Thank you. We're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Under that blood.
Yes.
The one blood.
Wow.
Yep.
There's only one race. It's the human race.
Amen.
Within the human race, there's diversity. And that goes way back to Genesis 11. When we deal with, if you remember the crazy guys that were trying to build a ladder to get to heaven. Remember who they were? And what did God do? He confounded them, separated them with languages that caused them to separate into their different languages. And they went to different places, and based on where they went, various characteristics developed by way of their association with one another after they were scattered. But even though they were separated and scattered, they were still what?
Same race.
One.
Human race.
One. Part of a human race. If there are many races, then who did Christ, which race did Christ die for? You see how stupid that is?
Yeah.
If he only died for your race, there's something wrong with that. We got a problem.
Yeah.
Everybody else is left out. There's only one. It's the human race. God is calling his people that understand that they are brothers and sisters in Christ and designed with a purpose to fulfill what God wants to accomplish in the earth. I understand that. There's another word that the church needs to pay more attention to. It's the word unity of the faith. And I'm coming to understand that there are three expressions of that unity. And we're still working through this. And the first expression of unity is unity of family. We just confirmed that we are all family.
Yes.
That's positional, isn't it? There's nothing you can do about that. You can't change it. So we embrace the fact that we are family.
Yeah.
We don't have to work on that. But the second expression of unity is unity of fellowship. Unity of fellowship deals with relationships, a relational aspect of how does the family relate to each other. Now, I come from a family of seven. Two are deceased. But I remember growing up in the family, we didn't always get along. I mean, when I was little, that's my truck. Leave my truck alone. Stay out of my room. But we were family. That same mama, family. Unity of fellowship. How do we fellowship with each other as family, as brothers and sisters? Now we got to work on that one. Because sometimes one brother or sister says to the other, because you don't look like me, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Or because you don't think like me, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And there's selfishness in the family at times. There's turmoil in the family. And that turmoil becomes more the focus of what's going on in the family than the purpose of the family. We miss it. And Satan has been so good at keeping us distracted from being family and the purpose of family, which is the third expression of unity, is the unity of purpose. Why has God brought all of us together? What's his purpose? I said earlier that we might be the expression of Jesus Christ in the earth. That they would come to know him as we demonstrate in the family how much we love each other. That our love goes far beyond how you look. Sometimes how you sing, when you sing flat and it bothers me. Because you like to sing hymns and I like to sing contemporary. Stupid stuff.
Right.
Preferences.
Yeah.
Wow.
Preferences. And while we're bickering with each other in family, the world is missing an opportunity to see what only God can do. Bring people together and show a love and a mutual respect for one another that with it marvels. I think of the New Testament church in Acts. When they looked over at the camp and they saw the believers of all nations having all things what? In common with one another. Whatever you need and I have it is yours. I marvel at that because it's not about what they were saying, but it was more about what they were modeling. They were modeling the love of Christ so much that people were saying, I'd like to be a part of that. It was contagious. It says, Man, you see how those guys love each other? You see how they share with one another? You see, that's what this world is waiting to see.
Right.
Can you really pull off the stuff that you sing about?
Yeah.
Or is that just a song? It's just a pretty melody.
Wow.
Can you pull it off? Can you walk in that? Or is that all just talk? Is that all just religious talk? And can you do it in the face of opposition?
Wow. Yeah.
That's the challenge. Trying to stay. if you want.
I'm going to ask Pastor Harold to do something, but I'm going to ask us to do something for him. Did you catch that he just finished with what he started? Did you catch that? In the face of opposition.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? And stand. And so here's what I want to, I you know what? You just got to trust me, because I don't even know if you have said the final amen or not. You just got to trust me, because I feel like we need to have this prayer focused on what God's placed in your heart and what God's placed in each of the hearts of the people that are here. Okay? Pastor Harold shared with me, you have to understand, Project Bridges is a power structure force for the kingdom of God. The leaders are significant leaders. We're talking some of the largest churches in the DC metro area, and they're meeting together and they're saying, we as a church have to respond to the racial and political divide that is going on in this country.
Exactly.
And what the Lord has put into his heart and the other key leaders there is that it has to begin with God's people. That before we start a political movement, we need to start a Christ movement in all Christians.
Yeah.
In our hearts and lives, based on the things that we're hearing that Pastor Harold has shared. And here's what I feel like we need to do. I feel like we need to bless this man, this woman, this family, all of the Project Bridges family, and say, Father, favor on them. Mm-hmm. Give them success.
Yes.
Let them be the voices that are heard. Beyond Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all the others,
yeah.
Beyond all of these things, I don't know how that's going to happen. These are broadcasts, the secular media, all of that, they're being in all these households. How can God's voice be heard?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you how. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly,
amen,
above all that you can ask or imagine.
Yes.
According to the power that is at work within you, your voice can be heard louder than the voice of the media.
Yes.
By the power of God.
Yes.
Somehow, someway, God can lift up Project Bridges and these networks to say, you know what, let's lead the way.
Yes.
Let's first humble ourselves. Let's first listen to each other. Let's find out what our issues are, and let's respond to them as a church. Here's what I believe. I believe that every single person in this room has, I don't know if you're going to really buy this one, but I believe that you have more power than the White House, the Supreme Court. I firmly believe that, because it says, according to the power of his work within you, if you have the risen Lord Jesus in your life, how can we change the world as believers if we just go, you know what, we're not going to start by the political. We're going to get this strategy and that strategy. We're going to get on the news. No, we're going to come together and say, let's pray.
Yeah.
And then let's figure out what God has for us. And then watch it. You know, the greatest movements of history are come up from the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
They come up from the ground. They come up from people. And God's people. So I want us to pray for Project Bridges. What a greater network of believers than in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And if it spreads there, you know, next Sunday, My message, I'm going to share a biblical perspective on lessons I've learned from imams.
Yes.
Last week. 3 days I spent with imams and pastors. I'm going to share what I could hardly believe the things that I was hearing with my own ears for both the pastors and the imams. I want to share that next week. You know what? God placed me there.
Amen.
I didn't ask to be there. I don't even know how I got there. I really literally don't know how I got there. I don't know who said for me to be there, but I was there. And the whole time I'm like, this, I'm here as a change agent for God. I wait until you hear the things that went on in that dialogue. I'm praying, I'm saying, I hope I have people praying for me. I hope where I am and where you are, on your job, at your school, wherever you are, you guys are the generation. You guys are the ones that are going to speak to this stuff if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And let me give you an example of that. I've heard through the one-eyed monster that Donald Trump has some things in his past about women and about people of other ethnicities. And then there are maybe affiliations with some white supremacy stuff. And I'm giving you that background because I listened to him yesterday tell me how he was listening to Donald Trump. Do you know there are people that are threatened by Donald Trump? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Mexican immigrants listening, okay, they feel threatened by them. There are people who feel threatened by Hillary Clinton. Religious liberty people. I'm going to be very honest about it. Babies in wombs.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to be honest. We don't have a political solution in this country right now. We need God in this country.
Yes, we do.
But here's what he did. He didn't look at Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. He listened to the Holy Spirit. And when he was listening to what the stuff that was coming out about Donald Trump, he was praying and said, Lord, this is bigger than politics. This is about a man that you might be reaching out to bring him to repentance.
Yes, yes, amen.
I don't know what you think about Barack Obama, but I hope you love him and his family.
Amen.
He's a man.
Yes, he is.
He's a human that God loves.
Yes.
I don't know what you think about Hillary Clinton. I don't know what you think about Donald Trump, but these are people who God loves, and we're commanded to love them and to pray for them.
Yes,
we don't know what God's up to. But it's not just a political thing, who's going to win and who's going to lose. It's about discerning the voice. That's what my pastor, I heard from him yesterday. It was burning in my heart. When I heard him, he could be threatened by, feel threatened by Donald Trump's government. I don't know. He never said that to me or not said it to me. But I don't know. But that's just the point. He's putting those things aside, listening to the voice of the Spirit and saying, Lord, if you're doing something to this man, do it. Let us not stand in the way. If there's anything you want to do, do it. That's the discerning of the Spirit, where we rise above the political stuff, the racial stuff, all the divisive stuff, and we say, Father, made in your image, what do you want to do in people's lives? And so here's what I want to do. I want you all to stand, if you would, and I thank you for just going with that. And I want you to reach out to Harold, to me. I want you to reach out to Project Bridges in prayer, to me with this dialogue that's going on with these imams and but then I want you to reach out to everyone around you. How many of you guys are AU students? Raise your hand real quick if you're AU students, all right? Wow, look at all you guys. We love you guys. Did you hear? I think somebody raised their hand just to get in that crowd. Raise your hand if you're in the marketplace. Raise your hand if you're working a job where you're connected. You know that God has you there. Come on. I want you to just look around. You just begin to bless in Jesus' name. God, let them have your heart. Let them have your eyes. Let them hear what you are saying. Let them see what you want them to see. And Father, make them a change agent in Jesus' name. God, use us, Father God. Use us, Father God. In a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor Harold just to pray for us. But I just want you to reach out to Pastor Harold and to Adrian and to Tia and just bless these efforts. Let them hear from the Holy Spirit, Project Bridges. Let them be change agents. Let there be healing among those who are officers, those who are
feel threatened by police forces, let there be healing. Pray for some results from, but let us start in the church. Let the church love each other. Let the church listen to each other. Come on, let's just pray for Project Bridges right now. That the Lord will lead them and that this will be an amazing, major change. Father God, we just lift up Harold Brinkley to you. Come on, let's all pray. We lift up Harold Brinkley to you. We lift up Adrian. We know that you've given them your spirit. You've given them your heart. You've given them your wisdom. You've given them your word. You made them a powerful team. We ask that no weapon formed against them would prosper, that they would stand. And after they've done everything to stand, they would have your power to continue to stand in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for their marriage and their home, God. We pray, God, for their family members. We pray for Adrian's loved ones, her family, God. We pray for Harold's, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over them, God. They're humans, God. They have needs, God. Lord, they need to be provided for, God, in every way by you, Father. So that, Lord, they would have the strength to stand, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, I believe that they are like your people in this city, God, and their voice needs to be heard. We speak health over them. We speak blessing over them, God. We speak unity in Project Bridges. We speak blessing over them, God. We pray for the directors, the board, God, Pastor John Jenkins, Pastor Owens, God, from Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church, and all of the different ministers, God. Father, we ask, Lord, you would bring your heart to them, God, your hope to them, God, and you would bring humility to them, God. In the name of Jesus, let them be strong in you, God, not in the things of this life, but in you, Father. And God, let us see change in this city, God. Let us see the fatherless loved, God. Let us see, God, the homeless cared for. Let us see, Father, the racial situation, God, made better, God, the crime, everything, Father. But Lord, let it begin with your church, oh God, and do it, Lord, through this great changing agent, Project Bridges. Just going to ask Harold just to come as our pastor and just to pray as he feels led over us or the church or individuals. Let's just agree with him in prayer. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank God, you. We thank you and praise you for your word.
Yes, Father.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit who always speaks. Now, Lord, we pray that seed that you have sown this morning will find fertile soil. Roots will grow deep and bring forth the fruit that brings much glory,
yes,
and honor,
yes,
and praise to you.
Yes.
Let this branch of Zion be a bright light in this community and even in this DMV area. We thank you, God, for what you are doing. Help us, oh God, to stay plugged into the vine, that we might bring forth much precious fruit for your kingdom. And we pray this prayer in the powerful name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thanking you in advance for what you will do, because you hear us when we pray. We know that we have a petition for which we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Yes.
We do give thanks. And everyone said amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
I can hear the footsteps of my King.
Yeah.
I can hear his heartbeat. Darkness, he has set me free. And now I hear the Spirit calling me. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. To preach another king. loosing chains and breaking